Welcome back to Let's Talk Ad. And Zahi, we have been talking with John Mercer about technology in the classroom. And the last segment, we talked about how we use that to help our students learn. Now we're talking about things today from that institutional perspective of how we can make all of this better. And John, when we left off, we were talking a lot about sort of the future of the classroom and, you know, what it looks like today and starting to get into what it even could look like tomorrow. And, you know, one of the things that I think about is I've been in a lot of classrooms where somebody has been lecturing. They have their back turned to the class. They're writing on a whiteboard or something like that. And, you know, in a regular classroom, that's not an ideal situation. In a synchronous type classroom, I think that's even worse because the camera doesn't often do a good job of picking those things up. What are some of the alternatives out there that can help with that whole scenario?
Yeah, it's a good question, and you know, the short answer is it's not an easy problem to solve or an easy question to answer. And I think in part, that's probably why we've seen it be such an entrenched method, right? Not only from a technology side, but just kind of the human pedagogy side. And I think there's just something in our programming that there's about the experience of writing on a really large canvas, right? As opposed to, let's say, starting to go to a smaller device that, I mean, not only is it just habit, right? But I think there's something even deeper than that. So I think to your point though, and that challenge that if we're going to try and pivot to a more digitized solution or an alternative solution, right, we have to really going to make sure that there's enough carrot at the end of that experience for everybody to feel incentivized and motivated to go there. So again, great question from a solution standpoint. I mean, some of the options that we're looking into are that there's kind of a baby step forward, I would say, which is that you can acquire what are called whiteboard cameras, which is a camera that is specifically targeted on a certain set or certain, you know, real estate of whiteboard space. And then in synchronous or asynchronous sessions in your room system, you can switch to that camera that will show that dedicated space. So you can, you know, you have the content canvas full screen, and it will dither out or ghost out, you know, the instructor, so that when they're working on the whiteboard, right, it's not necessarily going to be prohibiting you from seeing what they had written. So that's a pretty slick advancement that, you know, starts to work you in the direction, right, of moving away from just being traditional whiteboard only, where especially the far end can't necessarily see what you're writing. Then you start to step into a whole bevy of other choices. So if you happen to be standardized on certain conferencing platforms like your Teams, your Zoom, et cetera, they will have dedicated whiteboarding room devices that you can use. So then you can have your interactive 50, 60, 70 inch display. And then you have some flexibility in where you'd position that, right? You don't necessarily have to have it on a wall. You could have it on a cart, so that then you can be positioned more where you're kind of facing the students and to the side writing on that screen, which then would be mirrored onto larger displays in the room for the students that are in the class, and then also shown to the far end. So that really then tends to be an advantage because it brings in a number of other factors that traditional analog whiteboarding doesn't allow, whether that's just standard whiteboarding, or if you take that next step to whiteboard cameraing, if you could take this next step into the digital side, now, if you wanted to, right, that whiteboard can either come into existence before the class and it can stay into existence afterwards, right? And so if you as the instructor want to prep things, right, to be organized and have certain things pre-built, you can do that and bring that right into your class as opposed to having to redraw it on the fly. and afterwards, if you want it to live on, to have especially students now be able to participate and contribute with it, whether it's real time during the class or afterwards, it just adds a lot more potential for interactivity if you're going to build that into your teaching style. I'd say one of the challenges with those styles of solutions is it does tend to then lock you into that particular whiteboard application. So you have to make sure that, you know, it's going to meet what your needs are, because if instructors have different whiteboard apps that they prefer for whatever reason, right, then that flow doesn't necessarily work as well.
But John, so one thing I'm going to say from an instructional standpoint as a learner, but then as a practitioner, is talking to the wall. I mean, there are walls that have been talked at and to for centuries, and right. I don't see them graduating college anytime soon.
That is the front row is the wall. Yes.
Yeah. Right. The idea of turning and talking to the student, mm-hmm, for me is far more important, because that's part of the engagement. That's, yep, bringing that student in. So, talk to us a little bit about that, but also I'd like you to pivot and talk to us about the virtual, augmented, and mixed realities that we can bring into the classroom to bring yet another layer of, not complexity, it is complexity on your IT end, but on the instructional end, more realism and more diversity and perhaps more experiential learning to topics, to geographic locations, or perhaps situations, socioeconomical situations where certain things cannot happen, and what would help the student.
Sure. So to your first point, right, about being able to face the students, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think both sides of that equation, I think, would enjoy that, right? In theory, there's a benefit from the instructor being able to see more real time, right, the engagement of the students, and then the students feel more engaged because they're being communicated, you know, with, as opposed to interacting with the back of the instructor. So as far as, I guess, from a tools perspective, right, there's these all-in-one kind of conferencing dedicated solutions, the Teams, the Zooms, boards. You know, obviously instructors can bring in, depending upon the technology in the room, if an instructor prefers an iPad and whatever then interactive drawing app on their iPad, if you have the right plumbing in the room, you can use that. Or there's other than fixed interactive displays that you could have connected to technology. We're still on that journey, and I'd say a couple of the big factors that are going to influence what direction we and anybody in our shoes would go will be, you know, whether it's going to be an expectation that you maintain having some sort of a device in the space as opposed to a bring your own whiteboarding device to the venue, right? Because one option would be, okay, hey folks, bring your iPad, right, and you can use that, and maybe we have a stand. But if you're gonna want to have a device always there so that a person can whiteboard in the space without bringing something into the space, now you got to figure out what your standard is going to be, and then again, what application that you're going to want to use. Because if you're going to want to have support for, okay, today this instructor wants to use OneNote as their interactive tool as opposed to just the Microsoft Whiteboard, then the recipe that you use to accomplish that is going to be different. So that's what we're I think in the process of trying to sort through what we think is going to be the best for us. So
can you talk about the augmented, mixed, and virtual realities?
Sure. Yep. So you know, we're fortunate to be going through the process to add a healthcare building to expand the healthcare training services in our area, and that has sparked our interest in looking into the space you're referring to, which is all of these the later crops of experiential learning tools. So various forms of simulation, immersive simulation, where you can have displays, you know, you take some, it'll say in the case of immersive simulation, you take some sort of size room, small, large, depending upon your budget, of course, right? And then you can use displays and content to transform that space immediately into whatever training scenario or learning scenario that you're trying to. So from, you know, a class at 9 o'clock could be transformed into an OR scenario where you're dealing with a certain type of patient that's crashing. The 10 o'clock scenario could be a law enforcement situation. 11 o'clock scenario could be, you know, the EMS or EMT program, and the room, the visuals and the sounds of being on the side of the road where somebody's having to learn how to give CPR or provide paramedic or EMT services while a mother's on a child, while the mother is there screaming, and you're having to deal with how to perform your job, you know, in that type of environment, which is going to be a higher, once you get used to that, right, then once you're out in the field and needing to do it for real, you're going to be better prepared than if you had done all of your practicing in a pristine and calm environment. So that same concept then can apply to the virtual reality, mixed reality, augmented reality tools I think you were referring to, whether your headset with full display on, right, where you can't necessarily see the world, your world is simply the screen in front of your eyes, or getting into the augmented and mixed, where you're more seeing an overlay of data while you can still see the real world, and then sometimes being able to interact with that. So the content, right, really becomes key in that area, whether you're going to be doing medical situations or oil and gas situations for workforce training, you know, all sorts of fun and exciting areas that we're going to be heading into. So, but I think the content becomes king. Obviously, I mean, the technology is important to deliver the plumbing side, but having quality content built into it is going to be the pivotal piece to make it successful. So.
All right. We've been talking with John Mercer again about technology in the classroom. And in our next segment, I think what we just talked about, some of the augmented and virtual reality, we may explore that even a little bit more, because we're going to be talking about the future of learning and technology in our next segment. So if you enjoy shows like this, be sure and like us here on YouTube, ring that bell. You'll get notifications when we post new content. Of course, you can find Let's Talk Ed on all of your favorite podcasting platforms as well. So for Dr. Zahi Atala, I'm Chris Ford. We'll see you next time right here on Let's Talk Ed.